February 11th, 1926. The human will is the woodworm that gnaws at all goods and the key that opens all evils. Each act of human will not connected with that of God forms an abyss of distance between creator and creature. I was thinking to myself, why so much fear in me, to the point of feeling my life missing in me, that may this never be, I might not do the most holy will of God entirely and completely. The mere thought of this destroys me. What would it be then if I came to the point of withdrawing, even for one single instant, from the supreme and adorable will of my Creator? Now, while I was thinking of this, my lovable Jesus came out from within my interior, and taking my hands in his, he kissed them with unspeakable love. Then he pressed them so very tightly to his breast, and all tenderness told me, "My daughter, how beautiful is my will operating in your hands. Your motions are wounds for me, but divine wounds, because they come from the depth of my will, dominating, operating, and triumphant in you. So I feel wounded as though by another me. With just reason do you fear. If you went out of my supreme will, even for one instant, oh, how low you would descend. You would reduce yourself, as though from the state of Adam innocent, to the state of Adam guilty. And since Adam had been created as the head of all generations, his will, withdrawn from his creator, formed the woodworm in the root of the tree of all generations. Therefore, all feel the ruins which the woodworm of the human will formed from the very beginning of the creation of man. Each act of human will, not connected with that of God, forms an abyss of distance between creator and creature, and therefore a distance of sanctity, of beauty, of nobility, of light, of science, etc. So by withdrawing from the divine will, Adam did nothing but put himself at a distance from his creator. This distance debilitated him, impoverished him, unbalanced him completely, and caused imbalance in all generations. Because when evil is in the root, the whole tree is forced to feel the malignant effects, the bad humors, which are in the root. Therefore, my daughter, since I have called you as the first and as the head of the mission of my will, this will of mine must lay in you the balance between you and the Creator, and therefore remove the distance which exists between the human will and the divine, so as to be able to form in you the root of the tree without bad humors, making only the vital humor of my will flow, so that the tree may not be jeopardized in its vegetation, in the development, and in the preciousness of its fruits. Now, if you wanted to do an act of your will, not connected with mine, you would come to form the woodworm to the mission which I have entrusted to you. And like a second Adam, you would ruin the root of the tree of my will, which I want to form in you, and would jeopardize all those who will want to graft themselves to this tree, because they would not find all the fullness of my will in the one in whom it had its beginning. Therefore, it is I who cast this fear into your soul, so that my will may always be dominant in you, and all the manifestations which I have made to you may always be in vegetation, in order to form the divine root, trunk, branches, flowers, and fruits, without the shadow of your human will. In this way, you would return to your origin, into the womb of your Creator, all beautiful, grown and formed with the fullness of the Supreme Will. And the Divinity, satisfied in you of the work of the creation of man, would make its chosen people of the Fiat Voluntas Tua, on earth as it is in heaven, come out from you and from the mission entrusted to you. Therefore, be attentive, my daughter. Do not want to ruin the work of my will in you. I love it so much, and it costs me so much, that I will use all my infinite jealousies. I myself will guard my will, so that yours may never have life. I remain surprised, and I comprehend it with such clarity what an act of human will means, compared to an act of divine will, and how the soul, by doing her own will, loses the physiognomy of her Creator, and stripping herself of the beauty with which she was created, she clothes herself with miserable rags. She barely drags herself in good. She acquires the diabolical likeness. She feeds herself with dirty foods. My Jesus, give us all the grace never to do our own will, which is like calling all passions back to life. So, almost trembling, I tried to plunge more deeply into the Supreme Will, and I called my celestial Mama to my help, so that together, in the name of all, we might adore the Supreme Will on behalf of all the human wills opposed to it. Now, while I was doing this, the heavens opened, and my Jesus came out from within my interior, all in feast, and told me, "Daughter of my volition, you must know that when my will reigns in the soul, it integrates everything she does, and the development of the life of my eternal will in her. So, it was not you who called my divine Mama, but it was my will that called her. And she, feeling called by a divine will, which has always been whole and triumphant within her, immediately perceived that one from the celestial family was calling her upon earth. And she said to all of heaven, 'Let us go, let us go. It is one from our family that is calling us to fulfill the duties of the family to which we belong.' And here they are. Look at them, all around us, the Virgin, the saints, the angels, to do the act of adoration which you want to do, and the Divinity to receive it. My will has such power as to enclose everything and make everyone do the same thing, as if it were one single act. Hence the great difference that passes between one who lets my will reign within herself and one who lives of her own self. In the first one, there is a divine will that prays, that operates, that thinks, that looks, that suffers. At each motion of hers, it moves heaven and earth and connects everything together in such a way that all feel the power of the divine will operating in the creature and recognize in her the nobility, the likeness, the offspring of their Creator. And as daughter of the celestial family, all protect her, assist her, defend her, and long to have her together with them in the celestial fatherland. All the opposite for one who lives of her own will, which is the key of hell, of miseries, of inconstancy, Whatever place it opens, it can open only where evil is. And if she does any good at all, it is apparent because inside of it, there is the woodworm of her will, which gnaws at everything. Therefore, even if it should cost you your life, never, never go out of my will.
So it came to me at the top of that page. I don't know if it's exactly what is said here, but it came to me, it said, daughter of my will, you must know that when my will reigns in the soul, it integrates everything she does and the development of the life of the eternal will within her. Therefore, then she goes on to say about what power we have, and we're asking the Divine Mama to help us. And what's more important than loved ones or anyone that's on their way to hell? We know they're not living the way they should live, and there's a problem. And I think we try to put ourselves in the divine will as often as possible. And when we're praying for that person or those people that we're concerned about, because it's very important, nothing more important than that, than salvation, we can put ourselves in the divine will more often. Because when we're praying for that person or those people, we want to pray in the divine will, but we feel we're not yet completely in the divine will. But when we're praying, we put ourselves in the divine will, and we do it. Jesus said a few reasons ago, the more often you do it, the sooner he'll say, okay, you're doing it enough, I'm going to give it to you because you're asking for it so often. So that's who you want to be. It's not a better chore to do than that. And reason for being in the divine will is to save souls. You want to save souls of your loved ones and people you know that are on the wrong road. It just came to me because I have people that I want to pray for, and I said, oh good, I can't forget that. Just to be in the divine will, put yourself in the divine will and get that power that when you're asking the Blessed Mother and the Blessed Mother in Jesus for what you want. And don't stop, just pray every day for that. Put yourself, and remind you to put yourself in the divine will, because you're doing first of all out of natural love, human love, and then spiritual love. Amen.
February 18th, 1926. Each manifestation about the divine will is a beatitude which is released by God. Each act of the human will reject these beatitudes. I felt oppressed because of the many thoughts which went through my mind with the addition of the privation of my sweet Jesus. And while I struggled between the hope that he would not leave me without him for too long and for the fear of no longer seeing him, my adorable Jesus surprised me and filled me all with himself in such a way that I could no longer see me, but only Jesus. He formed around himself an immense sea of many little flames, and these were all truths which referred to his divinity and to his adorable will. I would have wanted to take all these little flames in order to know the one who gives everything to me and to make him known to all. But no, on one hand, I could not find human terms in order to express them. On the other hand, there was the littleness of my mind, too little to contain them. And then the infinity which I allowed to embrace and the immensity in which I remained dissolved. I could understand a little bit of everything, but alas, the celestial language is very different from the terrestrial language, so I could not find the appropriate words to make myself understood. More so since, when I am with Jesus, I have the same language as Jesus, We understand each other perfectly. But once he withdraws and I find myself inside myself, I feel such a change that I'm just barely able to see a few things, and maybe even mangling and babbling like a little child. Then while I'm swimming within the sea of these little flames, my beloved Jesus told me, it is right that the little newborn of my supreme will take part in the beatitudes, joys, and happiness of the one with which delivered her to the light. All the little flames you see in the unending sea of my will symbolize the secret beatitudes, joys, and happinesses which it contains. I say secret because, since I have not yet manifested the fullness of the knowledge which this internal will contains, and since the appropriate dispositions in the creatures in order to manifest to them all the beatitudes are still lacking, these remain ad intra, inside the divinity, waiting to come out for the one who was to be born, live, and carry out her life in our will, with no interruption, because being her will and ours one, all the divine doors are opened and our most intimate secrets revealed. Joys and beatitudes are placed in common, as much as it is possible to a creature and as much as she is capable of. Therefore, see, my daughter, each manifestation that I make to you about my will is a beatitude released from the womb of the divinity, which makes you happy and disposes you more, not only to live in my will, but to prepare you and give you more new knowledges. Not only this, but all of heaven remains inundated by this new beatitude which came out from our womb. Oh, how grateful they are to you, and how they pray that I may continue the manifestations of my will. These beatitudes were locked into ourselves by the human will, and each act of human will is a lock to these celestial beatitudes, not only in time, but also in eternity, because each act of my will done on earth places in the soul the seed of that beatitude, which she will enjoy in heaven. Without the seed, it is useless to hope for the plant. Therefore, I want you deeper and deeper inside my will.
February 21st, 1926. Each manifestation about the divine will is a birth from it.
Could everyone check their mute button, please? Thank you.
Each act done in it is water, which is formed in order to expand the sea of the eternal will around the soul. I felt all immersed in the holy divine will. A celestial and divine air surrounded me, and an inaccessible light made present to me as though in act all the acts of the supreme will, which, finding that same will in me, gave me their kiss and their love, and I returned them with my kiss, and I impressed my I love you in each act of the eternal will. It seemed to me that all wanted to be recognized by me in order to have my return in perfect accord and mutual possession. Now, while I was in this state, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior, and with his divine hand, he bound me in that light in such a way that I could see nothing else but Jesus, his will, and everything that it was doing. How happy I felt. How many inexpressible joys I felt. Jesus himself was all in feast and felt such contentment in seeing me all for his will and in his will that he seemed to forget about everything, to occupy himself only with his will, so that it might be complete in me, and triumphing over all, it might obtain the purpose for which all things were created. Then he said to me, "My daughter, little newborn of my will, you must know that one who is born in my will can also be a mother by giving birth to many children of my supreme volition. In order to be mother, it is necessary to have enough material in one's own interior in order to form with one's own blood, with one's own flesh, and with continuous nourishment, the birth which one wants to give to the light. If there is no seed and not enough material, it is useless to hope to become a mother. Now, since you were born in my will, in you there is the seed of fecundity, and there is also the more than sufficient material of all the manifestations which I have made to you about my will. One can say that each knowledge I have given you can give birth to a child of my will. Your continuous acts in my will are abundant nourishment in order to form these children of heaven, first within yourself, and then to deliver them as triumph, honor, glory, and crown of my will, and as perennial joy of the mother who delivered them. Do you see, then, what each additional manifestation means? It is one more birth that my will delivers. It is a divine life which is released for the good of the creatures. It is to debilitate the strength of the human will in order to build the fortress of the divine will. How attentive, then, you should be not to waste anything, even the smallest manifestations I make to you, because you would deprive me of the honor of having one more child, which can narrate to all one more good about my will, in order to give it to the creatures, so that they may love it more and let themselves be subdued by the power of my supreme volition. Then, I don't know how, I felt the usual fear that I might even just slightly go out of the most holy will. And my always adorable Jesus came back again, and all love told me, "My daughter, why do you fear? Listen, when you struggle and afflict yourself for fear of going out of my will, I laugh and I take it as a joke, because I know that the water of my will, which surrounds you, is so much that you would not be able to find its boundaries in order to leave. Wherever you turned your step, to the right, to the left, to the front, or to the back, you would walk, yes, but always in the water of the sea of my will. You yourself have formed this water with the many acts you have done in it. In fact, since my will is interminable, by doing your acts in it, you formed around you a sea from which you cannot get out. Therefore, every act you do forms some new water which expands the sea of the supreme will even more, inside and outside of you. Your very fears of going out of the origin in which you were born are waves that you form, which in rising plunge you even more into the abyss of the sea of my will. This is why I do not reproach you, because I know where you are. Rather, I call your attention to live in peace in my will, or I make you a surprise by telling you more surprising things about the eternal volition. in such a way that, surprised, you forget about everything, including your fears, and you navigate in peace across the sea of my will. And I, divine helmsman, delight in guiding the one who lives in our supreme will, and it is all for it. May everything be for the glory of God, and to my confusion, the most miserable of all creatures.
You in the top of the last page, he says, my daughter, why do you fear? Listen, and then when he tells Louisa, he's not telling us because we do fear. You know, we fear of going out of the, but he's telling, everything he's telling Louisa here, that it's a joke because he knows that she, he don't have to worry that she's surrounded by water and all that. And what we want to do is now is get surrounded by that water. You know, Louisa was protected. We want to put ourselves in the position where Louisa was. He says, my daughter, why do you fear? Listen, when you struggle and afflict yourself for fear of going out of my will, I laugh and take it as a joke because I know that the water of my will, which surrounds you, is so much that you would not be able to find its boundaries in order to leave. So as he's telling Louisa that, we want to say, we want to be in that position where we are in the divine will so often, and maybe not continuously, but so often that we're building up or for ourselves boundaries that will be hard to pull us out of the divine will. And that's what we're working towards. You know, he says, this is why, he says in the next last paragraph, this is why I do not reproach you, because I know where you are. Rather, I call your attention to live in peace in my will, or I make you a surprise by telling you more surprising things about the eternal volition. So Jesus is telling Louisa and us the value of each knowledge that we receive in the divine will, because each knowledge that we have gives us more water around ourselves to protect us. You know, and he's letting us know how each act in the divine will is a protection for us, you know, to remain in the divine will. And that's what our job is now. We're not trying to say stay in the divine will, but we're saying we want to be in the divine will continuously, and that's what we're working towards. And hopefully we're not that far from it. Amen.
Does anybody else have anything? I think we'll stop there before we go to 19. Start that tomorrow. Does anybody else have anything that touched them or they want to share?
About the Beatitudes and the secret, that really was enlightening for me to be able to recognize that it is us that this secret is being revealed to. And it was not anything that was made known before, and that was really powerful.
Thank you, Terry. Anybody else? What came to me was this last reading, the last page, the value of each act that we do in the divine will, the results never go away. So that act is eternal. So it's a positive thing for me. So say one day I'm good, you know, I'm living in the divine will, and Jesus gives it to me on loan. And I do my acts, and then the next day I bomb. I'm not doing anything. I forget about it. I can look back and say, but yesterday I had a good day, and those acts are still working. They're still in the divine will in an eternal way. So that was a positive thing for me, one who's, you know, still trying to live in the divine will.
Doing now a meeting every morning, how valuable that is, because we need to be reminded so often, and it's a good way to start the day, to be reminded of all these things that we're reading, all these teachings that we're getting from Jesus, And when we're getting them, we're reading them, we're all gung-ho to stay with it and do what he's asking. But because our human will is still there, that's our problem. We have that human will taking us out of the divine will. So we got to keep that in mind, we're in a battle with the human will. And so it's a hard battle because the human will is so strong, so it's so natural for us. And we want it not to be so natural to us. We want the supernatural to be natural to us. And that's what we're working on. That we could put this mornings we get reminded of that. So it's a good way to start the day, is to keep that in mind, you know, that we're in that battle and that we want to win that battle. We want to be at peace. Because we fall out of the divine will, we're not at peace. And so that only adds to the problem. So that's a good teachings today. I like today's teachings. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your teaching this morning to help us to be in the divine will and to stay in the divine will. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedict a vos omnipotentes, Pater et Filii Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
Fiat. Come divine will.
Fiat.
Fiat. Fiat. Come divine will.
God bless you all.
Fiat, come divine will.
Fiat, come divine will.
Thank you. Have a blessed and beautiful day.
Thank you, Deacon. God bless everyone.